share with you this morning a few things that I believe can launch us further into the things of God if we desire to go there. And I was sharing in the prayer room this morning that I was speaking with Pastor Doug Snyder again from Ontario, Oshawa, the Embassy Church in Oshawa last night. We talked for a little while, and he reminded me of something that he spoke when he was here, something that he shared with Debbie and I. And he said that he's seen our ministry as a ministry that we have very, very deep roots, which is commendable. And that, you know, when you have deep roots, you can hang on in a storm. And you can also grow high enough to be able to see some things. But deep roots is not enough. There has to be a design or an equipping in order to be able to produce fruit. And I want to share a little bit with you this morning along that line about, as a church, where I believe God wants us to go, where he wants us to take us, the things that he wants to impart to us. Now, first of all, I'm going to share a little story about a man by the name of Damas Shikiri. Who knows who Damas Shikiri is? Who's heard of Damas Shikiri? Okay, few people. Damas Shikiri was a man who started the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. He lived in California. Actually, his grandfather moved to California years before. And the reason why he moved to California, why his grandfather moved to California, was because back in the 1800s, 1855, I believe it was, there was a Russian prophet that prophesied that there would be a tremendous destruction and genocide take place in Armenia. And they were living in Armenia at that time. And because of that prophetic word, Damas Shikiri's grandfather moved from there. Now, later on, that prophecy came through, and there was about anywhere from 1 to 1.5 million people that were killed, that were slaughtered by the Ottoman Empire. But the prophetic word is what warned Damas Shikiri's grandfather to come out of there and come to America. And so this gives us a good idea of the importance or the power of a prophetic word. But Damas Shikiri came to California, and his family got into dairy, and they began having a dairy firm. Damas Shikiri took over the business when he was born in 1913. But later on, he eventually took over the family business. And he built his business to the largest privately owned dairy firm in the world in California. That's a lot of cows to milk. He did things supernaturally. He was a man that believed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, it had come up through his generation because his grandfather believed that prophetic word that came from that so-called Russian boy prophet. Damas Shikiri, when he built this wonderful firm in California, he went and built this large firm, and he used to go to New York, actually, where there was a large breeding station there, and he would do things like, he would ask them what, get their stats on their best bull for breeding purposes and so forth, and he would read down it, and he'd find the best stats that they were, because, I mean, he had to have some good bulls, because his breeding herd was big, and it affected everything that he did in a large way. But the problem was that in many times it was great to have a sire that had good stats himself, but a lot of times you could have a sire with the best stats in the world, but they wouldn't pass it on. They wouldn't pass their genetics on to the next generation. Damas Shikiri found that out, so he decided when he would go to these barns, he would ask the Holy Spirit. He would ask the Holy Spirit, "What will I do? Show me the bull that I should buy." So he would start walking through with the salesperson as well, and they'd walk through this huge barn, and they'd look at all these wonderful animals, and he'd get back to it. There'd be one back in the corner somewhere, and sometimes the Holy Spirit would tell him that's the one that you need to pick out. And he would get it. And this went on for years, and then after a while, some of the owners of this large establishment where they bred bulls and so forth, they came to him and said, "We've been watching the records, and we've been watching what your gaining and your herd and where it's going. And we just want to ask you, how do you do it? How do you know which one to pick? Because it seems like you always pick the right one, the best one of the bunch. And we, our records don't show that, but once the animals are moved, you end up with the best one. How do we do it? And so his comment was, you know, at times like this, he has the privilege to tell them exactly how he does it. Tells them about the Holy Spirit and tell them to how the Holy Spirit leads them and guides them and directs them. Dame Shikiri also was involved in ministry in a way that he used to pay to get great evangelists in. He'd set up meetings, and he would get evangelists in and that have wonderful meetings, bringing many, many, many people to Christ and see the miraculous happening. And then he went from that, and he started the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship that went completely all around the world. And there's many testimonies that come forth that people have been saved through Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. I've been in Full Gospel Fellowship meetings out west in particular and got some real powerful word that really helped me as well to get started out in ministry. Anyway, I tell you all that story to ask you this question. What do you think the ministry gifting was that Dame Shikiri walked in? A ministry gift that he declared himself. Now, some of you who know who he is, and if he's read his book, don't tell. But what do you think his gifting was? Pardon? Prophetic? Evangelism? Humility? All those things were in there. But Dame Shikiri said and declared that his gifting that came to him, that he operated in, was in the ministry of helps. He operated in the ministry of helps. That's where he seen his gifting from God was. And he tried to stay in that. And he moved in such a way that in some areas, like I said, he would hire evangelists to come in. He never tried to be an evangelist, but he worked in the ministry of helps in order to bring them in order to see God's kingdom advance. He stayed within his gifting. But he did all that. You know, when we think of sometimes of the ministry of helps, we think, well, you know, it's a little bit of helping here or helping there and helping somebody get their ministry off the ground. It may include all that, but it can be huge. This particular area of ministry, it can be huge. And I think many times as a body of believers, we discredit some of the very giftings that God has given us and what God wants us to function and operate in. Dame Shikiri also, I guess I said this already, he wrote the book The Happiest People on Earth. If you get a chance to read it, I think you'll really enjoy it. But there are other giftings besides helps. There's hospitality. There is a gift of prayer, I believe, although we're all to pray and we're all to be hospitable. But there is a gift of hospitality. There's a gift of prayer. There's a gift of exhortation. There's also a gift of giving. Now, it's interesting. And that's spoken about in the Bible, a gift of giving. And when I was reading that, I kind of looked at that and I just thought, I wonder why the Bible doesn't talk necessarily about, it does mention it, but it doesn't talk about a gift of receiving. And that kind of thought just went into my head. And as soon as I came in, it seemed to come up from my spirit, the answer simply came, well, haven't you noticed that the scripture clearly says you're more blessed to give than to receive? So it speaks of the best gift. Gift of giving is what's a gift of giving? Well, it's a person that feels really compelled to give and has joy in their giving, just loves to give. And there are people like that. Unfortunately, there seems to be a gift of not giving as well. Because some people just, they haven't exercised themselves in this area of hospitality and made it a point to give. Now, I'm not talking about just simply giving here at the with our tithes and offerings. I'm talking about giving things to one another, to bless other people, to be able to show people how much they appreciate them, even by some of the gifts that they give. Gifts of leading. There is a gift, I believe, that is upon people's lives where some people are better leaders than others. They can do things and people gather around them and are willing to be led. There's that gift. There's a gift of prophecy, of course, which we talk a lot about. And there's a gift of healing. Healings, actually, that's mentioned. Now, I'm mentioning these things because I believe God has called each one of us in a particular area. Some of us will excel in a particular area, and it'll be obvious what our gift is. Others will just kind of move in a number of things, but God will be blessing it. And what I mean by that is there is the gift of evangelism, for instance, but we do not all operate in that area of the office of evangelists. But every one of us are called to evangelize. Every one of us are called to share what we know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single one of us are called to share the testimony of Jesus that we carry in our lives. All of us are called to that. But others, there'll be some individuals that they'll have a special anointing for that, and they just know what to do, and God gives them opportunities, and just different, a little, they excel in that. That's where their gifting lies. But all of us are called to move in giftings. Now let me read, we're going to read Romans chapter 12, we're going to go through that a little bit, because I want to instill in you, is God calling you in a particular area of ministry? Is God moving you in a particular area of ministry that he wants you to excel in? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now notice this scripture. First of all, we are to present ourselves. In other words, we're saying, Lord, here I am, ready for duty. Yes. We present ourselves. We present our bodies. And you know, we can't just say, Lord, in the spirit, we present our spirits to you. We can't be like I am when, you know, years ago, and when Debbie used to run a lot outside, and I'd see her running up and down the field in the morning when she'd be running up down there, I'd say, man, I wish she could exercise for me. I wish she could do that for me. But it didn't work. Yeah, I had to present this body to that. Well, in the same way, God is telling us that we are to present our bodies before Him as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, not somebody that we have to drag into doing something for God. And God is not interested in dragging people into service. He wants us to show up for service. He's not interested in having to pump somebody up all the time. He's looking for them to have a desire to serve Him, because that's what it's all about. And so this verse tells us that really we're not under the dominion of sin, where we have to keep away from service or keep doing things the world's way. It tells us that we have a choice to make of whether we're going to be conformed to this world or not, whether we're going to have all our time wrapped up in doing things for this world or not. It is a choice, and each one of us make it every single day. Verse 2, we read about not being conformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable will of God. So that's a choice that we make. We serve God by choice. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. God has given you and I a measure of faith. Whenever we come into the kingdom of God, there's a measure of faith imparted to us. I believe that when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives, that we all get the same measure. But He calls us to do something with that measure. And this, I shared a little bit last week in Summerside about how God, that measure that God gives us, He expects us to do things to cause that faith to grow. He expects us to watch over that. He expects us to water that faith. He expects us to step out and stretch ourselves so that measure that is granted to us will grow. Now, it also speaks to us in that verse that we are not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. In other words, we have a measure of faith. And if our faith is a $5 faith, don't go trying to believe for $1 million, because you step outside your realm of faith. God wants us to start where we're at and allow growth to take place. It was George Mueller that said when he started out, you know, he was an Englishman who fed thousands of orphans and had housing for them and so forth, and he believed God for finances to be able to feed them. And he said near the end of his life, he said, when I started out, it took all the faith, every bit of faith that I had to believe for $5. Now, he said, I still use all my faith, but it takes all my faith to believe now for $1 million. So his faith grew from $5 faith to $1 million. Now, it would have been foolish for him to start off for trying to do something that required $1 million when he was only at $5 faith. But it would also be foolish for him to settle down for him and say, well, I've got $5 faith, and that's all the faith I'm ever going to have. I've got $5 faith, so this is all I can do. And sadly, most of the body of Christ, this is what happens to them. They get in one place, and they never do anything to cause their faith to grow, to cause their faith to produce. And if I know anything about the kingdom of God, the principles of the kingdom of God, it's multiplication. It's growth. God never gives us something for it to stay right where it's at. He always causes it to grow. And faith is one thing that can grow. In fact, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and he exhorted them, and he said, I'm so happy because your faith grows and that your love for one another is increasing. Love and faith come together. There's a correlation there between growing in faith and walking in love. And if we'll do that, if we'll sometimes just key in this area of walking in love, we'll find our faith is growing. Because what does Galatians say? Faith works by love. So we're not going to grow our faith if we're not walking in love. But as we walk in love, we are going to grow in faith and be able to believe God for some awesome things for the days ahead. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or you could say, according to your measure of faith. So this speaks to me about if we will use the faith that we have, it'll grow. If we'll prophesy according to our measure of faith, if we'll operate in helps according to our measure of faith, if we'll function in hospitality according to our measure of faith, that measure of faith that we have will grow. It will increase. But if we never use it, it'll be just like our physical muscles in our body. If we never use them, they're not going to grow. And we'll soon find them getting weaker and weaker. But if we'll start out where we're at, begin to use them, our faith will grow. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. Now, in other words, if we have a gift of teaching, the Apostle Paul is instructing us to use our gift of teaching, our talents, according to our portion of faith. So if we were saying, okay, I do sense that God has called me to teach, then we should be doing something in order to prepare ourselves to do that. If a person is called to teach, I know right from the time I got saved, right from the time I was born again, it seemed that there was something on the inside of me. I had a knowing that God was calling me to teach and preach His Word. And first of all, what happened was I didn't stand in front of people. My first thing that happened was I began to study the Word of God. And I would find myself thinking about the Word of God all day. I would study in it. I would just clearly see where my salvation, first of all, in Scripture and many other things. But God was preparing me. And you might say, well, you know, how long did it take? Well, I know one thing. The Apostle Paul seemed like he was set aside a little bit in his hometown for about 3 years. And I say he must have been a whole lot better at it than I was, because it seemed like about 15 years for me. From the time I got saved until I get into ministry, full-time ministry that is, it was 15 years. And I believe that every single year God was teaching me. And after I was saved 5 years, I was sure I was ready. I was sure I was ready, but wasn't stepping into it. But when I get into it 5 years, I'd look back from when I started and I said, oh yeah, I sure wasn't ready then. Well, after 10 years went by, surely I'm ready now. I look back to where I was 5 years before that and I seen I wasn't ready then. And you might say, well, 15 years seems like a lot of time. Lots of people get into ministry long before that. Lots of people shouldn't have. Lots of people should have got some life experience before they start telling other people how to believe God for life experiences. there are things in the body of Christ that are so real to us and they're tangible and they have to manifest in this life, and all we do is talk about spiritual things and what we need to do from the Word of God, then there's no experience in that and we'll not grow and stretch the way we need to. I know that everything God has did in this ministry, we did by faith, but it was God that did it. And this is the key. There was nothing special about me, nothing special about you. God brought the increase. We just took some little steps and God brought the increase. And I'm challenging you today. There's some steps that some of you have to take. He wants you to take. He wants you to bring increase, but you have to take the steps. There are some things that you have to do to make a difference. And when you do, difference will come. Change will come. Verse 8, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. All directions here of things that God wants to bless. You know, let's look at the word prophecy for a minute. Let's look at that for a moment. And when we think of prophecy, one of the first things we have to think about is the direction that's given in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which said, he who prophesies speaks edification to the church, speaks encouragement to the church, speaks building up to the church, or you can say to one another. If I prophesy to Janice, my main focus would be, the main reason for that prophetic word would be to encourage her, would be to build her up, would be to help strengthen her.